Go with me to John 18 now. John 18. You read with me. I hope you followed carefully and entered into it. Psalm 2. And I hope you read these texts beforehand, like Exodus. The time won't allow us to read all those verses, and so I want you to do that at home. That's your homework. Now, I hope you've read John 18, but Psalm 2 is such a clear prophecy of that. In fact, the church in Acts chapter 4, when they were being persecuted, they came and they all prayed that God said, you said that against thy king and Christ, they'll all be gathered together to do what God purposed to do. Now, you read with me, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, rulers take counsel together. Here in John 18 is a story of the heathen, Romans, Gentile, and the people, the Jews, raging against the king, the ruler of heaven and earth. What fools. And you read with me where it says, God says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Shall laugh. Jew and Gentile, religious and irreligious. This is the story of man judging God. He's still doing it. You're not going to be king unless we let you. This is the story of the great king being judged. The next message will be the great king being condemned. And the last message is the great king being crucified. But the great king's the one manipulating all of this. The great king is making man do what he purposed for them to do to him for his glory. That's the whole story. But here, he's called the king throughout this passage. Look at verse 33. Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king? Now, God wrote this book, and it's precise. When he uses the, that's a definite article. That means one, doesn't it? And he always capitalizes K. Okay? Look at verse 33. Art thou the king of Jews? Capital K. Verse 37. And then Pilate asked him, art thou a king? Small K. There can't be more than one king, can it? Did you catch that? Are you a king, small K? No, he's the king, capital K. God wrote this. Verse 39. Pilate said to the people, Will you that I release unto you the king, capital K, of the Jews? Chapter 19. The soldiers mocked him and his kingship. Verse 3, they said, hail, king, capital K, of the Jews. And verse 12, the people said, in the last line, said, whoever maketh himself a king, small k, speaks against Caesar. But Pilate in verse 14 said, behold, your king, capital K. And then they put the subscription over top of his cross, in verse 19, Jesus of Nazareth, in all capital letters, the king. God wrote this book. It's inerrant, it's infallible. King. Now, a king to modern man has no concept of a king, a true king. I'm talking about a true sovereign ruler. A king in the truest sense of the word, a king is one who does as he will, to whom he will, because he will. A king is the only one anywhere who has free will. You understand me? Man has no concept of that. We have never seen a king like that. We just crowned. Did you see that? Them crowning the king and the queen. That's sad. You know that Parliament can remove him anytime they want to. They can. Not this king. And we don't crown him. God did. God did. Not every man has no. A king is one who has free will, doing as he will, to whom he will, just because he will. And you can't question him. A king has absolute power. He can kill you. He can let you live. He can set you up or cast you down. He can make you rich or take everything away from you. He can. He can give. He can take. He's king. And none can stay his hand. No one can stop him from doing what he pleases. King. That's king. Jesus Christ is the king. He has on his thigh in Revelation 19, he says, has a name. The King of Kings, small k. The Lord of Lords. It was as king that the Jews and the Gentiles, the religious and the irreligious, rejected him then. They rejected his sovereignty. They rejected him then, and they reject him now. It's still the issue in them. Sovereignty of our Lord Jesus Christ. It still is. Ironically, hypocritically, the Jews, religious people, got together and they wanted to make him king. Hypocritically. They didn't want a king to reign over them. They wanted somebody to give them a carnal utopia. Like in the days of Solomon. Protect them from their enemies and make everybody rich and under their own vine and fig tree. That's all they wanted. They didn't want somebody reigning and ruling over them. And ironically, hypocritically, they went to make him king. Did he let them? Oh no, he passed through the midst of them. Why did he let them make him king? He already is king. He was king before he got there. He was king when he got there. He'll be king after he leaves. Who made him king? God did. We read it. I'll declare the decree. Long before Christ came, God made the decree. This is my king, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Jews, religious people, they claimed to believe God. They claimed to believe the Bible. They sure did love the law, didn't they? They hated the lawgiver. They hated and rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They said of him in chapter 19, verse 12. They said, he makes himself a king. No, he didn't. God did. Another time they said, you're a man. You make yourself to be God. No, he didn't. He was God. He made himself a man. He made himself a man. He took upon him the likeness of sinful flesh. He made his own body. That's the king. That's God. That's the creator. They said, we have no king but Caesar. That's revealing, isn't it? That's revealing it. When it all said and done, religion is going to bow to one king. Money. We don't want to lose our temple. We don't want to lose our place. We don't want to lose our tax-free status. We really have no king but the government. So religion talks about a God, but they hate sovereign God. They talk about Jesus, but they hate a sovereign Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. They call him Jesus. They don't call him the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. Jew and Gentile. And they questioned him, and they mocked him as king. They mocked him, the irreligious world, the Roman soldier in chapter 19. And brother, I prayed for you. Are you praying for me? I pray that the Lord will give us attentive minds and heart. There's nothing in this Bible that requires and demands our utmost attention than Christ being crucified. And there's no subject in this Bible that gives me more fear and causes me such a weight. And who is sufficient for these things to enter into what our Lord entered into for us? And I'm ashamed of myself, my poor attempts at trying to declare the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He demands the best, doesn't he? The best sermon I can preach and your best attention. The irreligious world says no God, no God. I don't believe in God. The Romans didn't have a God. They didn't believe in God. Romans did. The Jews did, but their God wasn't God. They're irreligious world. The Romans said no God. They have no creator, no owner, no sovereign controller, no judge. We're gods. We're our own gods. We determine what's right and wrong. We determine our destiny. Isn't that America today? Isn't that the world at large today? No God, no judge, no law, no right or wrong. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. If there is a God, we're all just, he just loves us. He's just an old man. Brothers and sisters, now, I hope through all of this that we'll be praising God to high heaven that He's made Himself known to us. Because such were some of them. That was me, a Roman. I was both a Jew and a Gentile. I was raised religion and rejected it. And then I went out in the world like Philemon and Onesimus. Went out in the world, went to Rome, and had my fling. No God. I'll do what I will. This is why I can't preach. I can't tell you my story without these two words. But God. You will believe me. You will know me. You will bow to me. You will fear me. You will worship me. You're mine. Bless God, people, if you know the living and the true God. Bless God if you know that God is God. Not trying to be. Not to be God if you let me be God. These people are God. They're all having a little council together to decide what to do with Jesus. And God is manipulating this whole thing. Look at with me at Proverbs 16. I told myself the other day, I'm not going to holler again. Brothers and sisters, forgive me. I am who I am. I can't change. I get excited over this. Forgive me, my poor preacher. Forgive me. God, forgive me. I ask Him all the time to forgive me for not saying the things the way they ought to be said, saying things the way they ought not to be said. Forgive me. But I tell you what, this needs to be shouted from the rooftop today. Everybody in this world needs to hear this. Thy God reigneth. Now, He's not God if you let Him do anything. And bless God, He's your God if He causes you to know that He is God. And He let you know that He's God. And bowed your knee and broke your heart and filled your heart, your mouth with His praises. Bless God. That wasn't your will. That wasn't your choice. That wasn't your decision. No, you didn't accept Jesus. He accepted you. Proverbs 16, verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Every single thing Pilate said this day, God said, say it. Everything the Roman soldiers did, God says, do it. Everything. Verse 4. The Lord hath made all things for Himself. Yea, the wicked. For the day of evil, He chose Judas to betray Him. He chose Pilate. He put him in office. Herod, he put him in office like Pharaoh. Romans 9 says, I put you as king that I might make my mighty power be known. He put Pharaoh on the throne to throw him in the river. That's the God of the Bible. I'm so glad. I'm so glad our God reigns, aren't you? If he doesn't, people, we're in it. We're hurting. Look at Proverbs 21. Look over at Proverbs 21. Look at this. Verse 1. You have it? Oh, how I love this. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Whose will? His will. This is the reason we say it over and over again, that man, with his all his talk of free will, and some of them even put it on top of their so-called church building, Free Will Baptist Church, that's the utmost rebellion against God there is. That's the most blasphemous thing that man can say. Free will. That's what Satan said. That's what Adam and Eve said in the garden. But God said, no, I will. And if God doesn't make us willing in the day of his power to bow to his will, and as in Psalm 2, you cast us in. Psalm 2. Oh, my. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Our God reigneth. Our Lord is King. The Lord is King. Bow to him he must. Arise, ye saints. Nancy and I look at each other every time we get to that verse and we do this. Salute your king. King. Big king. He's my king. And I'm glad he is. I'm glad God reigns, aren't you? Say unto Israel, say unto my people, thy God reigneth. Oh, I'm so glad. What ignorance. What folly that the creature didn't know his creator. Huh? That the subjects don't know their king. In John 1, this whole Gospel of John begins this way. John 1. Is John 1, Sister Helen, a declaration of who Jesus Christ is or what? Your mother Mary loved that John 1. She could quote the first, I don't know, maybe the whole chapter. But it speaks of the Word being made flesh. He's God. And Christ is God. Not if you let him be God. He is God. Always has been God. Always will be God. Well, there's a man named Thomas. A man named Thomas in John 1. That he met Christ. You know what he did? He hit his knees and he said, Rabbi, you're the Son of God, the King of Israel. How does he know that? Why did he say that? Where did that come from? Christ chose him. Chose him. Thomas, I'm your God. I'm your Lord. That's the first thing. Chapter 1, it begins that way. And this whole Bible, this whole book of John, talks about the King, and Lord of Lords. He came as a king. He was born as king in Bethlehem. He hung on the cross with this above his head, the King. And he was the one reigning over that whole crucifixion. What great joy and comfort this gives God's people, that our God reigns, and no matter how things may appear, no matter how awful things may be, no matter how evil things may be, the worst thing, that the most evil day in the history of mankind is when God came to earth and they put him on a cross, crucified. This is mankind. The true depravity of man, the true heart of man, the true evil of man is seen at Calvary like no other place. When holiness personified walked this earth and man hates him. When sovereignty walked this earth and man said, nope, we won't bow. And they hung him on a cross and they did all manner, anything they could think of to brutalize him and torture him and show their detestation for him. That's mankind. But God. He did all that willingly. He did all that sovereignly. The people, no matter how things may appear, our God reigneth. No matter how evil things may become, our Lord reigneth. Our God reigneth. All things are not as they appear. Here's this man in chains standing before this pompous pilot, this pinhead pompous pilot, sitting on his little peanut throne, thinking he's ruling over. And later he said, "Don't you know I have power?" Here he is, the King of Kings in chains, standing there before this peanut ruler. And you know what's happening? Before this happened, Pilate's wife came to him at night and said, "Don't." She couldn't sleep all night long. She's trembling on her bed, said, "That's a just man. Don't have anything to do with him, honey. Wash your hands. Get out of this." And he tried, didn't he? He tried, Pilate said. And three times he said, "I find no fault in it. I find no fault in it. He's trying to get out of it. You can't get out of it." You can't be neutral. You either bow to him or you don't. Look at this in our text, John 18. Oh man, God is not mocked. The Jews led him to Caiaphas under the hall of judgment. Who led who? Who's leading who? Who's the one in chains leading who? And they delivered him up to Pilate. They said that. "We've delivered him unto you." Who delivered him up? Who? Who's in control of this whole situation? The one in chains. You see, things are not as they seem. And they were religious, you know. They said, we can't go into that judgment hall. We've got to eat our Passover. We can't go in there. Touch not, taste not, handle not, you know. Well, they serve alcohol in there. We can't. Well, what grocery store are you going to buy groceries at? I mean, anyway, they're hypocrites. It's all show. Verse 29, Pilate said, "What accusation bring you against this man?" And they had to sum up false witnesses. And everything that man says that's contrary to God's word is a false witness. It's a lie. They make it up. Can't use the word of God. Verse 30. They said, "If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee." Well, they didn't deliver him, and he's not a malefactor. Malefactor means an evildoer. Malefactor means evildoer. Peter got up and preached at Pentecost, Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good. This is the only man who ever walked this planet that didn't do evil. That's how warped man is. That's how confused man is. There was one human being, one man who ever lived that didn't do evil. And they accused him of evil. And we've done every evil there is. If we haven't done it, we've thought it. And all about everyone's going to stand before this man's judgment seat someday. And how's anybody going to be exonerated? How's anybody going to be justified, John? How? If he says so. I hope we're going to get to the end of it. This ends gloriously for us. We're going to see why he's doing this. Why he's allowing this. It wouldn't have happened if he didn't allow it. If he didn't direct it. Well, they said, they took him to Pilate. Pilate said, "You judge him according to your law." They said, "We can't kill a man. We can't kill a man. It's not lawful to put him to death." Wait a minute. You hadn't even judged him yet, and yet you're going to kill him. Boy, that's man's justice, isn't it? Nothing's changed. You let one accusation come against a person, and they're guilty. It's supposed to be you're innocent until you're proven guilty of it. By two or three witnesses. But they brought all these witnesses against Christ. None of them could agree. Man's justice. He's innocent. No, he's not. As soon as you say something, he did something, he's guilty, and everybody thinks so. Right? There's no justice. Isaiah 59 says, nobody calls for justice. Truth. the Jews says, we can't kill him. We've already determined to kill him. Without a trial? Yep. Verse 32. Why? To fulfill God's word. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled. He'd been saying this all along. He'd been telling his disciples, the Son of Man must go as it has been written to be crucified. He's going to be delivered up to the Jews. God delivered him up. He's going to be delivered in the hands of Jews. They're going to mock him. They're going to spit on him. They're going to beat him. They're going to crucify him. And he's going to rise. He's going to rise. He told everything that was going to happen to him. It's all written. It's all written in the Lamb's book of life. And it's going to happen. Verse 33, Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus. And he said, now listen to it. He said, art thou the King of the Jews? And our Lord answered him and said, sayest thou this thing of thyself? Or did others tell it thee? I've met. Is this what you're calling me? Are you calling me king right now? It's just what you heard. You see this? Now he's judging Pilate. Am I your king? Or is this just what you heard? Do you call me king? That's a good question to ask everybody. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Or is this what you just hear the Bible says? Is he your Savior? Is he your Savior? By Savior, I mean, did he save you? Not you let him save you. That's no Savior. That's a joint effort. Is he your Lord? Reigning and ruling, doing as he will. You have no free will. He does. He has his will. He does as he will with you, and you're glad of it. Is he your Lord? Is he your King? Is he your Christ? Is he your atonement? Is he your covenant head? Or did you just hear somebody say that? Do you just believe that as doctrine? Is this what you say with your mouth, with your heart? Is this what you believe in your heart? That he's your absolute sovereign ruler and controller and your Christ and your King and your Savior and your all and in all. Is that what you're saying? Or somebody just tell you that? Oh, what the Lord can say in a few words in it. Well, who's on trial now? I believe Pilate's trembling. Don't you know he's looking in the eyes of God? And those piercing eyes that were at times like eyes of dove, and at other times like a flame of fire. And he's looking in those eyes and he said, don't you know that? And he's trembling. This is God. This is the Christ of Scripture. This is not no weak peanut Jesus standing outside men's door. Oh, this needs to be preached all over the land. That's another Jesus. Helpless, hopeless, wanting, wishing, trying, failing. That's not the Jesus Christ of Scripture. Our Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to this earth, sent by God to do a job. He did it. He went back, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, and the whole earth is his footstool. And he's coming back for his people. He chose. He died for every one of them. Do you say this of yourself? Or somebody tell you? From my heart. I ain't just, Scott used to say, I'm not just preaching now, I'm telling you the truth. From my heart, brothers and sisters, if you'd have seen me as a teenager in my early 20s, you thought, there's no hope for him. No hope. He'd be in jail or dead soon. But God, according to the rich. So the whole world rejects the sovereignty of God and the sovereignty of Jesus Christ. I don't. Do you? Don't you say from your heart, Ron, he's my God and he's my King. Bless God. Why do you say that? He chose you. An old boy from Carter County. Does anybody know where Carter County, Kentucky is? Anybody but one? Anybody know where... I even forgot where you're from, Irie. Doesn't matter. Dingus. Anybody know where Dingus, West Virginia is? God did. God did. And he went there looking for her and found her at a well and revealed himself to you. Man. Sovereign. Sovereign over all things, everything, no matter how evil, how bad it is. Sovereign over souls. Sovereign over lice. Sovereign. I love it. I love it. They said to him, Pilate, I'm no Jew. Am I a Jew? Your own nation, chief priest, delivered you unto me. What have you done? Verse 35. What have you done? Our Lord answered, my kingdom is not of this world. Oh, what is said in this verse? My kingdom is not of this world. It doesn't come with observation. It doesn't. Well, they're going to build the temple. So what? Let them build a temple. Christ is not going to be in it. He's already in his temple, John. Reigning king. I've set my king on my holy hill, Zion. He's in the temple. He's in the midst of his people. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, we'd fight. People are going to wait, waiting on an Armageddon. They're waiting on a big battle to be fought. Who's fighting who? Who's going to be fighting? God's people are going to be fighting? Who are they going to fight? Let me go ahead and tell you again that the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. And where that battle happened was on Calvary. And Jesus Christ did it by himself. Some of these things I can't say without hollering. Lift up your voice. Say unto the cities, behold your God. He said, what have you done? He said, my kingdom's not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but my kingdom is not from hence. Pilate said in verse 37, art thou a king then? A king? Our Lord said, you say that I am a king. But here's why I came. Here's what he said. He didn't come for man to crown him king. He didn't come for man to acknowledge him as king. He already is king. He doesn't need man to acknowledge him as king. He doesn't need anybody to crown him. David did. You know, people had to take him and crown him. Not this king. Not the son of man. Here's what he says. To this end, this is why I was born, and this is the cause for which I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. I am come to bear witness of the truth, and everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. The truth. What does that mean? What is truth? Pilate said that. Verse 38. What is truth? He didn't want to know the truth, did he? Truth standing in front of him. He didn't know the truth. He didn't want to know the truth. He's just philosophizing. But our Lord said, now he that is of the truth, I came to bear witness of the truth, and he that is of the truth heareth my voice. Our Lord said in John 16 to his disciples, and them only. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What's that? That's everything. That's all. That's all there is. I am the way of what? Name something. I am the truth. Truth of what? Who God is. What man is. What salvation is. What the Bible says. What the truth is. The truth is a person. So I came to bear witness of the truth. Bear witness of God, the true and living God. Who's the true and living God? Jesus Christ. He's God. What man is, what salvation is. Salvation's of the Lord. Salvation's in Christ. Salvation's of Christ. Completely of Him. And one of our sisters this morning listened to the radio, and her comment or text to me was, "The key to it all is Christ is all." That's right. That's right. He's the truth. And everyone that is of the truth. James said this, of his own will, of his own will, begat he us, gave birth to us by the truth, with the word of truth. Didn't it? Truth. The truth of who God is. What I'm declaring this morning, the gospel. Who? It's good news that God reigns. If God doesn't reign, it's bad. It's good news that Christ is God, that came to do what He was sent to do, and He did it. That's good news. If He failed, and it's up to us, that's bad news. If you have to let Him do whatever, that's bad news. Good news. Of His own will. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom He sent. That's the truth. The whole truth. Nothing but the truth. It's all founded. So help me God. So let me close. Now here's the amazing thing. He just said that. Everyone that's of the truth heareth my voice. And you got all these Jews hating Him. Wanting Him dead. Thousands of them. Listen to me. Stay with me, okay? Thousands of Jews calling out, crucify, crucify, kill Him, kill Him. All of them. This mass crowd of people. You can't find but a few here and there, like Mary Magdalene, just here and there. But there, the whole multitudes cry, kill Him, kill Him. The Roman soldiers mocking Him, jeering Him, spitting in His face. You ain't no king. Who do you think you are? Amazing, marvelous thing. We preach amazing grace. The amazing, marvelous grace of God is seen here in what He was doing. That He was doing all this. The judge of the earth was being judged. The King of kings was being judged by man, by these petty kings. He was doing it for somebody. You know what the scripture says? If we will judge ourselves, we won't be judged. What's that mean? Well, you know what the law saith to us? Guilty.
That's right.
Every single person, guilty as charged, subject to the wrath of God. The wages of sin is what? Christ is going to be killed. For what? Not for anything He did. Then why is He doing it? Us. If we judge ourselves, how do we judge ourselves? In Christ. Brother John, here's our faith. Here's our faith. I was crucified with Christ. Christ didn't deserve to be crucified. He didn't deserve to be stripped and exposed before everybody in His nakedness. I do. He didn't deserve to be spit in His face to be spit on. I do. He didn't deserve for everybody to taunt Him and mock Him. You think you're this, you think you're that. I do. He didn't deserve to die. I do. If we'll judge ourselves before God and say, oh God, I'm guilty. Let the crucifixion of Jesus Christ be me. Let what He did be for me. Would you accept on my behalf what Christ did for sinners? To judge ourselves, Lord. There is no judgment. There's no condemnation now for them that are where? In Christ. Crucified with Christ. Buried. You know, my name needs to be blotted out of every book. Needs to be forgotten for all eternity. There's one name that needs to be remembered. They wanted to put the name of Jesus Christ away forever. God says, nope, everybody else's name but His. Everybody knows. Has a name above every name. And men, you know where they said, Pilate said, "Are you king?" And people take God's name in vain. People that claim to not believe in God, they use God's name. God making them accountable. Using a name that they don't even believe in is making them accountable. Don't do it, people. Don't use God's name. Oh, my God, don't do it. Oh, God, don't do it. Fear His name. Don't let your children do it. Don't do it. Don't get used to people doing it. Don't do it. Fear His name. Fear His name. That amazing mercy here. The judge being judged for the accused. Made sin a criminal. He who did no evil was made criminal. A malefactor. A substitute. For who? The ones that killed him. Just a little while later. Just a short time later. He's hanging on the cross. Before all these thousands of people. And his first words were, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing." And a little while after that, a man got up preaching this gospel of Christ crucified, reigning and ruling, doing what God doing to him, what God determined before to be done. And now seated at the right hand of the majesty on high and struck fear in 3,000 of these Christ haters. 3,000 of these God rejectors. 3,000 of these free willers. Hit their knees. And said, "You reckon He'll have mercy on them?" Peter said, "I reckon He will." As soon as they repented, isn't God good? Tell you, didn't make them do great things, and now you got to undo everything you did. No. What shall we do? Believe. Is that it? That's it. We don't have to atone for our sin? No, He already did. We don't have to undo everything we did? No, He already did. It's not do, brethren. It's done. It's done. It's done. Believe. Saved. Ain't that good news? Oh, man. I could go on another hour, but I'm going to quit. John, you come lead us in a hymn.